Okay, today is November 9th, 2016. It is the eighth day of Mar Cheshvan, Tavshinayin Zayin, and we are finishing up Perek Ches of Shmos today. And we want to talk about a few things that one has the ability to learn from frogs, that one has the ability to learn from Sardaya. The Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, and some of this got liftoff from Rabbi Simon Sefer in the Imre Baruch. He quotes a few ideas, and then there's a few other ideas I'd like to share as well. So the way he starts off his story here is that the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, "V'nigaf Hashem es Mitzrayim niguf v'rafu," that Kadosh Baruch Hu struck the Egyptians with a strike and with v'rafu, and with a healing. What does that mean? So the Zohar says, "Shamakos hayu niguf l'Mitzrayim v'rafu l'Yisrael," the makos, the plagues, were an attack on the Egyptians and a healing for the Jews. So what does it mean that it was a healing for the Jews? So certainly the Jews gained from several of the makos, for instance, by dam. So they were able to sell the dam in order to get money off of the dam. So what about Tzfardeya? Were the Jews able to gain at all from the Tzfardeya? So you suggest that yes, you could gain from the Tzfardeya, in that there is much mussar that can learn. There's much mussar that one can learn from the Tzfardeya, from the frogs. So what mussar can one learn from the frogs? So there is a Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says, "Vatal Hatzfardeya." That's in Perek Ches Pasuk Beis. What does it mean, Perek in Vatal Hatzfardeya? That the frog infestation came up. They ascended. What does it mean that they ascended? Sorry, why are they called Tzfardeya? Says the Yalkut Shimoni, "Tzipor Shiyesh Bo Deya." Tzfardeya, a Tzipor Shiyesh Lo Deya. What does it mean? What's a Tzipor?
Birds
that have daya, that have das. So what does it mean, the birds that have das? What does it have to do with the tzfardeya? So the Yalkut Shimoni says, "Bishashayu ha'ofus tzmeim, v'ayu misyarim lishtos hamayim, hayakoriosam, v'omer lehem, bo bishasu v'altiru." That whenever the birds are flying and they see a body of water and they want to go and drink, they call out and the frogs respond, "Oh, this water is okay to drink." That the frogs give the notice to the birds that it's okay. That the tzfardeya, the frogs have a sense that they're able to know whether there is something good in the water or whether it's not. That's one of the things, the senses that they have, and then they give the word out to others to know whether this is good or not. So what does it mean? What's the idea of das? So I remember when I was in fifth grade, we learned Mishnayos Brachos, and the question was, in Rabbi Dreilich's Mishnayos Shir, the question was, why do we say Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos? Why do we say Havdalah in the Bracha of Atachoni? Why do you say the Bracha in Atachoni? So I, fifth grade me, raise my hand and say, "Oh, I know why, because it's the first bracha." Right? So you got to get in. Like all the other times when we add things into the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei or the holiday Shmoneh Esrei, it's the first bracha. It's added in right away. So here it was in the first bracha. So he said, "Wrong." I don't know why I was so wrong. But he said the reason is because you need das, you need understanding in order to differentiate between day and night, or between Shabbos and Chol. And it's part integral to the bracha of das. I always had a little bit of a problem with that. I think that was even a chocolate bar question, and I lost out on my chocolate bar. I didn't give the right answer. But that idea apparently is brought up in the Yerushalmi, and that the Yerushalmi says that we say it during that time. What happens if you if you forget that it's Shabbos and you, if in the Shabbos Shmona Esrei you daven the weekday Shmona Esrei, Shachar Chashavos Hizkir and Shel Chol, and you remember that it's during that it's. You mentioned the chol, so what do you do? So Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Rav Sheshes, the Yevam Achlukas, Chadam Archoti Ches HaBracha, you stop the bracha, and the other one says Gomer Ches HaBracha, you finish the bracha that you're in the middle of, and that actually is the halacha, that if one is in the middle of Shabbos, Friday night, and it's Rav Davening Shmoneh Esrei, and the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, and you're saying it by heart, and all of a sudden you realize 5, 6, 7, 8 brachas in, my gosh, I forgot that it's Shabbos, so what's the din? The din is that you finish that bracha, and then you go, you say another other Shem Hashem, you finish that bracha, and then you go back and you say, then you begin the Shabbos brachos to say that over. So Baram HaKol, so what do we come out from that? So Modim B'Chonin Hadas, however, that no, Hadash Hu Gomra, that with if it's in the middle of Chonin Hadas, that for sure you would finish up. Why? Because das you need for Shabbos anyways. There's a suggestion that maybe you would even need to make that bracha on Shabbos. We don't. We don't make that bracha on Shabbos. But das you need in order to figure out that it's Shabbos. Therefore, it's an imperative to say that bracha. There is an interesting story, by the way. Someone once asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the halakha in Shulchan Aruch is that if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and you forget that it's Shabbos, so you and you say the weekday Shmon Esrei, you would finish that bracha, and you would then begin the Shabbos brachos. Even, by the way, if you say the word Atta of Atta Chonein, now the word Atta is what starts Friday night, Atta Kidashta, and as well as Mincha, Atta Achad V'Shimcha Achad. But if you say the word Atta, and you have in mind that I'm going to be saying Atta Chonein, you have in mind the weekday bracha, so you would still go ahead and finish that bracha. You still go ahead and continue to the end of that bracha, and then go back and say the Atta Kidashta, or Atta Echad V'Shimcha Echad. So I heard from Rev Radinsky on one of his tapes that that somebody once asked of Yaakov Kamenetsky, I messed up, I was in the middle of the Shemana, so I realized that I forgot to mention the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei. What do I do? Now, it's unclear to me whether this is like in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, which in theory, al pi halacha, you are allowed to ask shailas in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei about what to do about that Shmoneh Esrei. This other was afterwards, he just went and asked him afterwards. So Rav Yaakov said, you should go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. So the guy goes and he pulls off a Mishnah Berurah off of the shelf and he shows it to Rav Yaakov. He says, you know, you paskin wrong. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, the din is that you should just stop where you are and finish that bracha and then continue on with the Shabbos. Why did you say to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei? So Rav Yaakov said, look carefully into the mitzvah. The din is, if you're in the middle of davening and you forgot that it's Shabbos, you didn't forget that it was Shabbos. You forgot that you were davening. Right? Most people, right? The assumption of the din in Shulchan Aruch is that yeah, you're in the middle of davening and you know, you're there this night, you're there other nights, and you're davening hard, and you're davening. You just forgot that it's Shabbos. You knew it was Shabbos. You just forgot that you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So you should go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Now I don't know whether to ask that from Meister or not, but regardless, it's a great story. So anyways, the frogs have the ability to have this idea of das. Now, what is this idea of das? The idea of das is to distinguish between, or daya, is to be able to distinguish between what's good and what's bad. Behind it, alkein niskana havdala b'soch birchas hadas ki koach havdala sharshu b'midas hadas. The ability to make havdala is rooted in the ability to distinguish. And then he goes on and says that the Gemara says in Maseches Sota ein das ela Torah, that das is Torah. What does Torah do? So Torah gives us the ability to make this distinction, and that is the meaning of the pasuk that we say that we only just finished saying it that over the course of Elul and Tishrei. Of Acha Sha'al to Meis Hashem Osa Vakesh Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Mei Chayai. Right, that David requests that I have one question, request that I have from Hashem. I want to sit in the Beis Hashem all the days of my life. Lachsos Benoam Hashem, to see the Noam grander. Anyone have a good translation of Noam? The strength of Hashem, the grandeur of Hashem. Ulevakir Beheichalo. Pleasantness. Okay, the pleasantness of Hashem, and to contemplate Beheichalo in his Heichal. What does it mean to contemplate in his Heichal? So Rashi on that pasuk says, B'shem Menachem, V'shelevakir Beheichalo, Humilashon lo yevakir ben tovara. That is the language of the end of Vayikra, the Tochacha. In Vayikra, the pasuk says, lo yevakir ben tovara, that one should not, you will not be able to distinguish between good and bad. But that's what the word yevak means, to distinguish. So David is requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should be able to be given the wisdom in order to distinguish between good and bad.
Is it
seichel?
Is it
seichel
to distinguish?
Like in
the even in the
Shmoneh
Esrei bracha, it says.
Well, it has all of them.
Right.
So bina comes second. So I thought day is first. Day is just the.
Yeah, but that's the knowledge, but the seichel or the bina is the.
I gotta look. I don't know. I'm just reading what he's got here. I thought I Had I had more time and not a sick child this morning, I was going to look up and see some of the other Lakav in Shmoneh Esrei, how they interpret the three. But that is the correct next step if we're going to develop this further. But yeah, that's idea number one, learned out from the frogs. Idea number two, learned out from the frogs, and this was the runner-up for Halacha Day yesterday. We went against this yesterday. We learned about Kinim, but there are four essays in the Minchas Asher on the topic of another halachic topic we learn out from the frogs, and that is the din of Kiddush Hashem. The din of being mekadi, the requirement to be moser nefesh, and perhaps even give up one's life in order to be mekadi shem shemayim. How in the world do we learn that out from the frogs? So that's not actually in Perek Chet, it's actually in Perek Zayin. In the previous Perek, it says, in the second to last Pasuk, Pasuk Chav Ches, it says, v'sharatza yor, when Moshe is warning Paro, he says, v'sharatza yor, the water will swarm with, tzvartim, with frogs, v'alu uvo v'vesecha, they're going to come up and go into your house, uv'chadar mishkavcha v'amitascha, and into your bedroom and into your beds, uv'ves avadecha uv'yamecha, into the house of your servants and your nation, uvisanu recha, uvimisharusecha. So what does that mean? Into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs are going to get into your ovens. So says the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 53:2. Odzu darash todos ish romi, ma ra'u Hananya Mishal ve'azariah shemasu atzma al kiddush Hashem. What did Hananya, Mishal, and Azariah, who are they? Who's Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah? Very good, right. They're thrown into the furnace by in the book of Daniel. So what did they do? Now the story with them is they probably did not have to be... what was the story there? The story there was Nebuchadnezzar had made a idol, but an idol to himself. It wasn't an idol of Vodazar, it was like a statue of him. And there was a ceremony that everybody was supposed to go to. So Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah go. Oh, well, they go and they don't bow like everyone else bows. But it wouldn't be a violation of Avodah Zarah. It was more of a show of respect to the king. But they felt anyways that it would be a Chil Hashem to participate in that, or better yet, it would be a Kiddush Hashem to not participate in that. And Daniel gave them his bracha, that that's okay, that's fine. It's unclear where Daniel was in that story, by the way. Daniel, why was Daniel called out to this big ceremony and forced to participate? It could be that he ran back there in Yisrael for a while. Lachmani, Mishael, and Azariah were stuck there. They were then thrown into the fiery furnace, and they survived. So, Ma Ro Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, Shemasu Asma Kiddush Hashem. What did they see that they should do that? The Kivshan Eish, to be thrown into the fire. So, Nisu Kalvachomer, Ba'atzma Mitzvardim. So, they made a Kalvachomer. Kalvachomer, you know what a Kalvachomer is? Everyone in this room? Kalvachomer is when we, if they do this, so certainly I would do that. So they made a kalvachomer. Umatzvar de'im she'ein mitzuven al kiddush Hashem. That with the frogs, that they are not commanded on kiddush Hashem. But yet ba'alu ubo v'vesech. But yet the pasuk says they go into the houses uvetanu recha uvemisharosecha and into their ovens and into their bowls. Imasai misharos mitzuyos. What does it mean when they went into the ovens when the bowls were there? Eitzal tanur havi omer b'shasha tanur cham. Meaning when the oven was hot. So the frogs actually jumped into the oven, knowing that they would die from jumping into the oven. So we're actually commanded in mitzvahs of Kiddush Hashem. So certainly we should be willing to be moser nefesh on this as well. So there's the idea of being moser nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. Now, what's interesting here is that it doesn't sound like the frogs had to. It doesn't sound like Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah had to either. So this sounds like an additional idea of Kiddush Hashem, even beyond what you have to do with regards to those three mitzvos, which is, I'm not sure we talked about this last year or not, but that is a major, major shaila. I don't know, it was in the Monday night shiur that we discussed this pretty at length. Can one? We know that a person has to give up their lives and not violate three mitzvos of the Torah. Is one allowed to give up their life in order not to violate other mitzvos of the Torah? So that's a big issue. This is one of the main sugyas for that. It sounds like that there is a reason, that perhaps there is a reason to do so, but that's a machlokas Tosfos versus the Rambam and for Halacha Day some other time. There is a idea from the story told about the Shagas Aryeh that he suggested the opposite. He says, Shari gamhim et sfardim nitztavu limsur nafshom. What do you mean? They were commanded to be moser nefesh, as the pasuk says, va'alu uvau, that you have to go and go everywhere. That was the idea. They're being raised out of the river to go everywhere. So what do you mean the frogs aren't commanded in Kiddush Hashem? That's what they were supposed to do. They are supposed to go everywhere. So the story goes that Shagasari raised this question. The story goes that they brought a young Eliyahu Mivilna, who did Eliyahu grow up to be? He grew up to be the Vilna Gaon. So they brought a young Vilna Gaon. He probably was already a Vilna Gaon at that point. And they brought him to the Shagasari. They discussed this issue. And the story goes that Rav Eliyahu Mivilna says that yes, it's true. Ki emes hai, that's true that they were commanded. However, lo nitztavu al sreifas eish levat. They weren't only commanded to do that. They were commanded to do a lot of things. I mean, the frogs came up, and some of them are going to go, and there are frogs in their bed, and there are frogs in the head, and there are frogs here, frogs there, and frogs are jumping everywhere. So frogs are supposed to go to all sorts of places. So included in those lists of places is the oven. But if they're commanded to go everywhere, and just some of them are commanded to go into the oven, and other of them are going in the bowls, and other of them are going into his pajamas, and some of them are going into the beds and the heads and all that, each of them could say, you go into the oven, I'll go into the bed. Right? I said, kol achas v'achas, yichol lomar chaverta. All the frogs could say to their friends, shteil hiel tanur, you go into the oven, v'ani elech al cheda mishkavas v'amitas, and I'll go into the bedroom and the beds. Umi dahalchu gam el tanur eish, from the fact that they went into the oven, hari akavachomer ulo yafas. The kavachomer works very well. That they work, there was a commandment that frogs in general should be moser nefesh, but there was no commandment that frog should be moser nefesh. So that's the kavachum that was learned out. When he heard this, kafatz hashagasari v'higbiu v'nashku al mitzchul kiyadua. That the story goes that the shagasari was so excited by this answer, he went over and gave him a hug and gave him a kiss on his forehead, and the Vilna Gaon, the rest is history. Fine. So that is idea number two that we learned from Sfardim, the idea of Mesiras Nefesh. He has a third idea here, and that comes from the Medrash, the Gemara, and that's quoted by Rashi, that the Tzfardei, Batal HaTzfardeya, that a frog came up. What do we learn from the idea that it was a frog that came up? So Rashi says, Tzfardeya Achasaisa, Payumakinosa, Vihimatezas, Nechalim, Nechalim, that there was one frog that came up, and they hid it, and from there came out all the other frogs. So it says Rav Itzala, who's Rav Itzala? Rav Itzala of Lezhiner, I assume he means. V'hir Rabbi Itzala derech hamlitza mahaya kori iloaya misgar mitzvardei makmusa. What would have happened if they wouldn't have hit that big frog? Nothing. There just would have been this really big frog hopping around Egypt, and nothing would have happened. But the fact that they kept hitting it, that's what caused all of the problems. So kamochein, similarly, b'mavak neged kitos aksus v'tenuos chadashos hakamos b'Yisrael. So he said the with regards to the new ideas that are rising amongst Israel. What are they referring to? It's referring to the Haskalah. That era was when the Haskalah was raging, and modernity was setting in, and all of these issues were raging among in the yeshivas and the Jewish communities. So yishlinu kafi shahor maran harav chaim. We should do what Rav Chaim suggests. Shu'alechas bederek shel tigra u'melchama guluya. Not to go and have open warfare against them. Basher etzem hitznatzchus mevia lehischaskus shel atzad shekenegad. That the simple idea of engaging them in dispute, engaging them in machlokas, that's going to be what makes them stronger. Now that's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. That's his advice. His advice is don't take them on directly, because it's better that we just leave it, because the more we hit it, the more attention will be brought to them, and all those kinds of issues. It's not such a simple thing. We do have an idea of making macha, we do have an idea of making protests, that the idea does exist, but I guess from here we can learn out the idea that there's also an idea of not always making protests, and one has to use their seichel, one has to use their deya to be able to distinguish when it is appropriate to make protests and when it is inappropriate to make protests. There is a story that I heard it fits in with Parshas Toldos. Dr. David Berger tells the story that I think I shared it last year, but it's good to do a review on this story, that there was the episode of protesting in, I'm sure some people in this room remember, the protests in Yerushalayim over the churches, over the when they were building churches in Yerushalayim, or the Mormons, I think when the Mormons were coming into Yerushalayim, there was the Mordechai Ben David song, Yerushalayim is not for sale. So that was a whole big issue that I think is regarding that issue. So yeah, a lot of the yeshiva students were going and protesting the building of these of the Mormon church. So one of the Rosh Yeshivas weren't letting his students out. So why aren't you telling them to go? So he says, because I think the idea is not to protest these things, and I'll bring you a raya from, I don't know if this is Parshas, Parshas Toldos. What happens in the beginning of Parshas Toldos? So Rivka, of course, is pregnant with the twins, Yaakov and Esav. They weren't named Yaakov and Esav yet. And whenever she goes by a shul, so she feels one of them pushing to get out, Yaakov. Whenever she goes by the churches, she feels the other one itching to get out. She feels Esav trying to get out. So suggested this Rosh Yeshiva, if it was true that we were supposed to protest against the building of the churches, when she walked by the churches, she should have felt both trying to get out. She should have felt Esav trying to get out because he wanted to go into the church, and she should have felt Yaakov trying to get out because he wanted to protest against the church. For the fact that she didn't feel Yaakov trying to get out is a proof that you shouldn't be necessarily be going out and protesting all these things. All right, take it or leave it. But there is one more idea to bring out, another famous idea that is brought out from the Tzfardim. That is a famous piece that is in Birchas Peretz. Birchas Peretz, I believe, was written by the Stipler himself, I believe, not by his son. Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, of course, the father of Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah. No. Kavod. So it must be by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, because he's honoring his father. Father and mother's father is Chaim, so that's Chaim, right? I think that that's the story. So the Stipler himself wrote this piece, and one of the Birchas Peretz is a very sometimes shorter, sometimes longer piece on each and every parsha. He actually has two on Parshas Ve'era, but one of them is pretty famous, and that is this issue with the Tzardeya Achasaisa. A frog. That when they saw that they were hitting it, and every time they hit it, another few frogs came out, so it would be illogical for them to stop hitting it. Right? That would make sense. About Mamidas Hakas Omeres. But that's not what the Mida of Kas, the Mida of anger, says. Adaraba, Mikivan Shemusifa Lahadis Kolshakin. The fact that it was more that was coming out, they should certainly go and hit it even more. Shosikim lahosif lehis nakim imenula kosav achol afshar bechol shosifu lahatis hosifu likos. And the more that came out, the more they got angry. Bechamasam beira bahem bekach chazar chalila heim hosifu lahakos lehis nakim behosifu lahatis nechilin ad ki v'tichas esaretz mitzrayim. And they continued to keep hitting it. The more that came out, the more they got angry. The svar is supposed to be telling you. The Svara logic tells you not to do it. We're not acting logically. We're acting bekas. And that is the definition of kas. The definition of anger is to be acting beyond logic, to be acting in completely illogical ways. And that idea is, he goes on and says, so the idea of other types of anger as well. And that idea comes out famously in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis. Where it tells us that Kufhei Amad Beis is discussing the idea of Oreg, the idea of sowing, the idea of unsowing, and whether one violates Shabbos. Can one, if one tears their garment, does one violate a malacha on Shabbos? Because usually when you tear your garment, you are damaging the garment, you're not making it better. So we don't violate malachas on Shabbos unless you are making things better. So you suggest, well, maybe there is idea by the time of Yitzias Neshama, by the time when a person dies, you're obligated to tear your garments, so you're obligated to. So maybe in that case, you would be chayiv. Maybe. So, fine. But Tenach Mesu, El Chamasu Achamasu Kash. But we have a problem with the anger, because the Gemara has a suggestion that maybe if a person is angry and they tear their garment, that will help him relieve his anger. So maybe that's also considered a good thing. Maybe that's also considered tearing for a constructive purpose. And maybe then it should be prohibited on level of Doraisa and Shabbos. So he says, Tinach Misa, Chamasu Chamasu Kasha. So Chamasu Chamasu Nami Lo Kasha. It's also not a question. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Melacha, Shein Tzichu L'Gufa Chayv. Okay, we don't want to get into the Melacha, Shein Tzichu L'Gufa issue. But the Gemara comes and says, that Yishari is really permitted for a person to tear their garments in anger. One who tears his garments in anger, he breaks his utensils in anger, or he scatters his money in anger. That person is like a violator of avodah zarah. Shekach umanuto shel yitzhara, because that's what the yitzhara tries to get you to do. Hayom er melo ase kach. This day he tells you to do this. Ulamach er melo ase kach. Next he tells you to do that. Asher er melo avod avod azara. Until he gets you to actually do avod azara. V'holich v'oved. And you actually go ahead and do it. But that's considered avod azara like. To go ahead and tear garments to do these things, that's considered avod azara like. Why? Because it's not logical. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. That is the starting point. And by the way, why does a person get angry? The Bali Musa tells us a person gets angry because by definition they have a lack of emunah. If a person really thought that everything is really coming from Hashem and everything is really a challenge from Hashem, so they wouldn't get angry because it's all coming from Hashem. It's a challenge that I have to now overcome. So the Gemara continues on and says, "Amar Rabbi Avin, Mikra." What pasuk do we get that from? Lo yevcha elzar v'lo tishtachavel elnechar. There shouldn't be a strange god among you, and you shouldn't bow down to a strange god. But the language is strange. The language says, "Lo yevcha." There shouldn't be in you. Vcha means in you, not amongst you. V'cha, in you. Ezu elzar sheish beguf adam. What is the strange god that could be contained within a person? Asks the Gemara. Havi omer zei yitzahara. That's referring to the yitzahara that is causing a person to do things that are against his best interest. And that perhaps reveals itself most when a person is angry. So Gemara then goes on and asks, well, wait a second. Could a person actually be held liable for tearing his garment? Could you tear a garment for a constructive purpose? Is that possible? It says, yeah. When a person does it to strike fear into the members of his house, that Rav Yehuda pulled off a piece of his garment, and Rav Achmar Yaakov broke some tools in his house, and Rav Sheshes Ramile La'amte Munina Areish, and Rav Sheshes threw fish juice brine at the head of his maidservant. They did that, and Rav Abba Tava Nachtama, and Rav Abba broke the lid of a pitcher. Now all of these, however, are saying they were in control. That's what the Bali Musa explained this going. They were in control. They were just doing it in order to instill fear in others. So there is the famous story of the Rav Baruch Ber's jacket, I think, a child did something in his house that he wasn't happy with. I think in the Making of a Gadol actually says what it was. I don't remember what the issue was. He did something that he was angry at his kids. So he says, okay, I'll be back down in a minute. So what are you doing? I'm going to get my patching bekisha, my patching coat. What do you mean your patching coat? So by the time that he gets upstairs and puts his coat on and comes back down and says, okay, I'm hinei mucha numuzum l'chai mitzvah saseh of giving my kid a bit of a patch, so it's not going to be so much of a patch anymore. That's it. So to cool one's anger down. And the first story, I remember when I was in elementary school, there was an issue, there was an elevator in the school, and the students weren't allowed to use the elevator. It was only for teachers. Only the students weren't allowed to use it. So I remember Rabbi Brander, who was my principal at the time, that's Rabbi Kenny Brander and Rabbi Asher Brander, their father. So he was our elementary school principal. So one time at an assembly, he wanted to tell us to stop using the elevator. So he took out a dollar bill, which, you know, I don't want to say in those days was a lot of money, but for a sixth grader in those days was a lot of money, and he tore it up in front of the entire school. So, and to show us that every time you do it, you're wasting the school's money. That was the purpose of that muster session. But That's the fulfillment of this Gemara, right? He demonstrated, even though he wasn't angry, he demonstrated his anger in order to give us, teach us the lesson to tear things up. So that would, if you would do that on Shabbos, he would be chayiv on Shabbos, because it was tearing for a constructive purpose. Of course, I remember a friend of mine went and gathered up all the pieces and put it all back together and taped it up and got a slice of pizza. But the show still leaves an impression on me at a Yom HaZeh. All right, let's stop here.